The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Dermatologists are raising concerns over the increase in the number of young women who are suffering serious infections after botched lip filler treatments. Many of these treatments are administered by non-medics who are attending perhaps a one-day course rather than being employed by medical practitioners themselves. Now, the concerns come on the back of the Programme for Government pledging that risky dermal fillers will only be administered by professionals. So what's going on? I'm joined by Professor Katrina Ryan, consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatology. Katrina, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
First of all, what is the range of fillers that are applied by non-practitioners, medical practitioners?
Well, a non-medical practitioner can inject any type of filler. Like, you know, you could go home yourself now today, Pat, and inject your wife with filler and you'd be doing nothing illegal. And I think that's where the problem lies.
Now, where might I purchase that filler?
Apparently, just through the internet, you know, Alibaba, Amazon, these sort of on a website. And again, you're doing nothing illegal. And we've no idea what's in these fillers. There's no traceability. And that's where a lot of our concern is coming from as well. We don't even know what these people are injecting into people. They're said to be hyaluronic acid fillers. And I suppose the benefit of that is if an emergency happens, you can actually dissolve a hyaluronic acid filler with a medication called hyaluronidase. But there's absolutely no regulation surrounding that. And we do welcome, government is trying to do something about this finally. So I think, you know, all medics welcome this, you know, and you know, the movement that's been made. This has been going on for 7 or 8 years. We've been talking to government. We're asking government to do something about it.
Now, tell me, what can go wrong? What kind of cases have you come across where things have gone badly wrong?
Well, worst case scenario, this isn't a common thing, but it can happen. If the filler is injected into a blood vessel, it can kill all of the tissue that blood vessel supplies if it's not dissolved immediately, and you can only dissolve it with the medication. So you could have, awful scarring. And I'm sure, you know, most of your listeners have seen pictures of people with deformities afterwards, like losing half their lip or whatnot. It could also block the blood vessels that supply the eye. So someone could lose their vision. And we see this when people are injecting around the forehead or the nose or anywhere that there's a connection to the circulation to the eye. So that would be worst case scenario. But the thing we see more of is infections. You know, these are done sometimes in people's homes, in beauty salons. So, you know, not sterile conditions. So, and people can get really bad infections. And I've seen one girl who actually has scarring from the infection. So she had big abscesses that needed to be drained a few times in hospital. And finally, the when she came to me, I dissolved her filler and the problem went away. People can be allergic to them, so they can have hypersensitivity reactions. And that can happen with, you know, these things can happen even in expert hands, by the way, Pat. But the experts know how to treat the complications. They can prescribe antibiotics or steroids or dissolve it. So this is what we're worried about. It's not, you know, obviously a lot of girls are going around with strange looking faces and that sort of thing, but they've chosen to do that. It's when things go wrong, and it's often the most vulnerable who can't afford to go to a medical clinic. So instead they're going to a beauty salon and getting it for very, very cheap. So cheap that I don't even know how, like cheaper than the price it would cost us to buy a filler. So that's where our worry and concern is going. You know, these are young, vulnerable women for the most part who want bigger lips because they've been, brainwashed by social media, and then things go horribly wrong.
It's extraordinary to my eye, I see them all the time, and I cannot imagine that the people who are brandishing these puffed up lips actually think they're nice. They look abnormal. They disfigure the face in themselves. So why do people do it?
You know, this is social media, and what our you know, our young girls and young women are being exposed to, seeing image after image after image of these, you know, inflated, strange looking lips, and that becoming their new normal, and they feel like they are inferior to these women they see. It's a process called adaptation. So, you know, even if I sat you down and gave you, you know, 100 pictures of lips, and you choose what you think is the most beautiful, and then I subject you to, you know, this whole brainwashing of images, and I do the same test on you, you will pick much bigger lips after, because that's the way you're and that's what I, it's awful, and it's something I'd love if we could address in you know, even in education, like what is happening to our young people today and their strange view of what beauty is, and these images and the social media brainwashing they're having in all spheres of their life, really.
It's interesting that that happens in fashion as well, you know, that people are told suddenly that Doc Martens worn with a miniskirt are really cool. And then pretty soon the town is awash with people wearing Doc Martens, fishnet tights and a short skirt. Next season it's a flowery dress and trainers. Do you know what I mean? And suddenly it's a herd kind of mentality, but that's kind of harmless stuff. It comes and goes, except for the disease of fast fashion, which is another topic entirely. But when it comes to medical treatments, and a lip filler is a medical treatment, it's much more serious.
With big complications if it goes wrong. And actually, even if it doesn't go wrong, Pat, that look to the lips never fully goes away, even though they're meant to last 6 to 12 months. I have patients who come to me, say, from a different provider, and they come in and see me, and they have that distorted look to their vermilion border, which is the where the skin meets the lip. And I say, oh, when did you last get your lip filler done? 8 years ago. And it's because of the trauma that happened to the skin and the collagen production there. So they may never look fully the same again. And so that's not even a complication. That's just something that happens. So it's something that I think really, and having medics, at least if there's medics who are injecting, they're more responsible. They'll talk people through things. You know, and they have to account for their actions.
Now, you know the way, if I was to get such a thing at your clinic, I presume if it went terribly wrong, that you would be covered in some way by insurance for the damage done to me. Do we know, are these beauty salons where the beauty therapist, so-called, is actually injecting, do they have cover for that kind of misadventure?
Well, they should have. And actually, this is one of the things we've talked about, that, you know, it's very hard for the government to bring in regulations when this is an EU issue. And it is an EU issue. And because fillers are categorised as a device rather than a medication, it's very easy to regulate something like Botox. So only a doctor or a dentist can inject that in Ireland. And there are very strict rules around it. Or that's all that should be. And if you're not, then you're doing something illegal. Whereas with the device, as I said, you could do it yourself at home. Where we could actually intervene here is that the insurers only insure people who have a medical qualification, and you know, the beauty salons aren't given the insurance to do it, and that could really make a big difference to the problem, because I think the government are, in much as they really do seem to be trying to do something about this, I'm not sure how they can do it with the law. Whereas, you know, mandating that insurance can only happen for people who are medically qualified.
Yeah. But are you telling me that dermal fillers, whether it's a lip filler or another location for the filler, that this is described as a medical device and not a medication? And therefore, it's a different form of regulation that is required.
Exactly. And it's this loophole that it makes it very difficult to enforce any sort of policy. Whereas the thing that you use to dissolve the lip filler is called hyaluronidase. You have to be a medic to inject that, which is a huge problem. If somebody, you know, blocks an artery in the face, you know, and they're in a beauty salon, the beautician has no access to the hyaluronidase. Mm. I think only people who can inject the antidote, the dissolver, should be able to inject the filler. And I think that's what a lot of people have been saying for a long time.
So going back to where we started, the worst case scenario is that the blood supply to certain parts of the face might be blocked, and then that flesh becomes what, necrotic, and dies off?
Dies off, and it dies off very quickly. What I would consider a worst case scenario, a worse scenario is losing the vision in the eye as well. So it's very, very serious when it does happen, and it needs to be, it needs to be treated straight away.
All right. A cautionary tale. Professor Katrina Ryan, consultant dermatologist with the Institute of Dermatology. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.